I'm recording. So this is Laura Kloss for the Dialect and Heritage Project, recording a reminiscence session with the Rickinghall Heritage Circle. And the date is, what should we say, 8th of September. So ladies, what I want to, go around the table and do a little bit of an introduction for the tape, and everyone say a little bit about their dialect heritage. I'll go first, so you know what I mean about this. And really it is a kind of thinking back of your family history and where you might have got, what might have influenced your language. So for myself, I was born and raised in London, in West London, and so I have a bit of a London accent. You probably, I don't know if you can hear it, but I have some interesting words from my childhood, like when we played had or it or tag in the playground, or we called it had, and then when we stopped and we had a timeout, we'd say pax, and these are really specific words to London. But I also drop my T's, I also say things, so I've got that in my language. My mum's from or grew up in East Anglia, so I say mashing the tea and gusgogs as well for gooseberries.
Yeah.
That one.
Yes.
My dad's from Bristol, so sometimes I roll my R's a bit. I say girl, and I have some like West Country inflections, which is odd. My grandparents, going back another level on my dad's side, are German. So in my family, we have a lot of German words, especially for food. So we cook at home a dish called Klops, which is it's kind of beef burgers. So my dialect history is formed through all those different places, and I've picked up words from all those different places. And I'm going to throw it straight to Maggie, because I know she's had a little think about it already, and you can have a little think whilst you're doing it. And tell us a bit about yourself and where you came from,
okay.
Where you were born. And
right.
Yeah.
I was born in Surrey, and I lived in London for a very long time. I had a mum who came from Suffolk, born in Eye, and family in Suffolk as well, in Eye, and still have. My father came from Wiltshire, so I got some bits and pieces from him, which I can't even remember at this remote moment. And then I married an East Ender, so I picked up lots of things, like you said. We used to play he when we were playing, not tag. And we used to say pax and fane lights. Whatever that meant, I don't know. But fane lights meant like pax romana. It was pax romana, wasn't it? It was a Roman word. That came from.
Peace.
Yes, peace. Yes. And anyway, so I've lived in Suffolk now for 40 years, which I can't believe has happened, but I always wanted to be here. But I spent most of my younger life here with family and learned all sorts of interesting words, which I can't even remember now. But I did know the word garbushan and various other ones where we mash all the words up and it makes a different word to the way it's spelled. But I do remember when I started teaching, and I was in school, and we had this wonderful word, which is Welnetham. And I used to call it Welnetham, because I came from London at that time, and I thought, this is a strange language here. But so, and I was also married to America, or an American, so I brought many words like walk in the park, walk the talk, and very other things that have come into my language as well over the years. And as of the East End bit, I said to Laura this morning, I remember, I still say, hello, darling, which is classic Cockney. Well, I wasn't a Cockney because I came from South West London, but there you go. So that's me. So,
Thanks, Maggie, that's great. For the tape, can you just describe or explain what garbushan is?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it?
Garbushan.
Yeah, what is
when
it?
When we called it garboldishan.
Aye.
Yes, we used to say it phonetically. Because in London you would. And there's lots of words I can remember asking when I was lost in my car and asking someone from Suffolk, like garboldishan, and they go, what? And they pretend they didn't know what I was talking about. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how do I say this word that they know where I am? Because I can read it. But they're going, what? So, yes, it's been fun.
Who wants to go next?
Should I?
Yeah?
Or does Daphne want to go? Do you want to go next, Daphne?
Huh?
Do you want to go next?
I don't mind.
Yeah,
yeah,
come on.
Yes,
this is a real Suffolk lady now.
Mm.
My name is Daphne Kelly, and I was born in Wortham, which is the next village, to a farm and family, and that's where I spent many, many years. And I went to school at Wortham, very often I used to have an aunt come down and see me and take me for a walk. And one day I had a doll's pram and I let it go down a hill and that finished up in the dike. And my doll flew out and went into the ditch where all the water was. And I stood and cried until I wetted myself. And my grandmother was coming along the road. She said, "Whatever's going on here?" And because they said I'd fell in the ditch. And so she put me on her bicycle, on the back of her bicycle, and took me home to put my clean clothes on. But no, I had a very happy childhood when I was at the farm. I used to go all the way around the farm with my dad and that. And one day, my grandmother had a chap come to take an order for the cattle food and everything. And because I was only a small girl, she left me sitting in a chair. Well, she went in to get some papers and for this chap. And while she'd gone, I found that she'd got some little chickens that had just hatched out. So I picked one of them up and put them in a watering can to see if they'd swim. And when she came out, she only could count for so many. There was one missing. And so she said, "Have you seen this?" So I said, "Yes, that can swim." And that was and I put it into a can with all this water in. Poor little thing. And then I because I'd rather naughty. I used to go in the garden when the peas was on, when they had fresh peas in the garden. And I used to pull them up off the pods off, and put them in the pocket and take them indoors. You let when Mum done the washing, all the pea pods come out. No, I was rather a naughty little girl. Because my mother and father were very religious. They were strong Methodist. And never done any work on a Sunday, only fed the cattle, and went to chapel very often in the morning, and we all went to chapel in the evening for evening song. So, no, very happy times. I don't know what I have to tell you to. Then I can remember going to Wortham School, and the boys and the girls had to sit together. And one day when we was waiting for the teacher to come to give us a morning prayer, and she recalled the register out, and there was one chap missing, and she asked us all had we seen him, and we said no, and he was in the cloakroom at the corner crying because he'd left his mother. Oh dear.
Brilliant. Okay, shall we throw it over to somebody else now?
Yeah.
Brilliant, those amazing memories, really good way to start off the conversation. Fantastic, Daphne. Do you want to go next?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Go on, Angela.
My name's Angela Bigley. I was born in Northampton, in the Barrett Maternity Home in Northampton. But then my home town, I was brought up in Wellingborough in Northamptonshire. My mother and father were both Wellingborough people, both in the printing trade. My father was a monotype caster operator, made the type for printing, and mother worked as a bookbinder. When Dad went off to the Second World War, Mum and I lived with my granddad, Mum's father. My maternal grandmother died when I was 3 months old. So we lived with Granddad. And, yeah, I can remember actually receiving things, presents that Dad sent from Italy and Sicily. I can distinctly remember unpacking a toy cat thing. I remember it coming. And also that came from Dad when he was in Sicily. He was in Sicily when I was born. He sent this beautiful doll, came in a box. I had my picture in the local paper with it. It's a beautiful doll. I think he shouldn't have done, but he was a bit naughty. He sort of stole it from the cellar of a house that was bombed, belonged to a rich family in wherever he was. And he sent this doll home for me. It was beautiful. We called it Sicily. It had moving eyes, lovely little silk dress, little white paint and shoes. I can see it now. And I had my picture taken in the paper with it. Dad came home. I was 2 and a half when Dad came home. He didn't see me till I was 2 and a half. I didn't like him very much. Poked my thumb in his eye. and then we moved. Dad bought a house for very little money in Wellingborough. He got it cheap. It was a nice sort of Edwardian house. He got it cheap because it had evacuees from London already living there, and he took a chance on it, really, that they would go back afterwards. They were the Bakers. They lived in the front room. We shared the kitchen, and we lived in the back living room. And the toilet was out in the back in the garden, and they had to come through our sitting room to go to the toilet in the evening. I think the son, used to do this fairly frequently, much to my father's annoyance. So I went to infant school, Crawley Road Infant School. Very nice teacher called Miss Vaughan, but a not very nice teacher who wrapped me over the knuckles with a ruler because I got my sums wrong. Yes. And my father went and remonstrated with her about that. And then I went to junior school, Rock Street Junior School. I didn't pass the 11 plus. So then I went, you put your name down, or your parents put your name down, to go to secondary school. And they put me down to go to Park Street Girls. It was a girls' secondary modern school. And I didn't want to go there. And so I changed it without them knowing. And I went to a new school called John Lee. It was named after a local councillor. It was a brand new school. Big, modern, secondary modern school. And I think I got a bit lost there because that was you had to change rooms, you know, for every lesson and that. And there were three staircases. Anyway, I didn't pass the 11 plus, but I was put in for the 13 plus, which I passed and went to the local Wellingborough Girls High School, which was quite an eye-opener, a girls' school. They were mad. Even the window cleaner who came, it was a man. Wow, great excitement. Having been to a mixed secondary modern school. But anyway, I left when I was, 16? Yeah. I can't remember anybody ever asking me whether I wanted to stay on in the sixth form or go to university or anything. Nobody ever asked me that, but anyway, I left school at 16 and I went to work in a laboratory in a local dairy, which at the time was privately owned, but then it was taken over by Northern Dairies. And for 2 years, I travelled up to London 3 times a week on the train from Wellingborough to London to take my sitting guild in chemistry, physics and microbiology, which I passed, surprisingly enough, because sometimes we went up the West End, we didn't go to Borough Polytechnic. And I stayed there. I was sort of in charge of the laboratory then. And then the dairy was going to close and it was going to move away. I was engaged to be married at the time, and it was going to be a complete change. I was going to have to work weekends and travel on the bus to Northampton, which was quite a way. So reluctantly gave that job up. I did try and get another job in the dairy industry, but there wasn't a lot doing then. So although I said I never would, I went to work in an office, which I didn't particularly like, but the money was good. It was better than working in the lab. I worked there while I got married. And then I left there in 1969 when I had my son. We had a little bungalow when we were first married. We bought, I think, for £2,800, a little detached bungalow, quite nice it was. And then we moved, after we had Mark, we moved to another house. Quite a nice house, semi-detached, but it was a well-built house, big garden. And I think we paid about just over 4,000 for that. And then my husband was in the print, actually. He was a printer. And then he was made redundant. What would he be? I can't remember. Mark. How old would Mark be? Oh, and we got Sarah as well then. Sarah came along as well then. So he was made redundant and couldn't get a job locally, or not a job that he wanted anyway. We could have travelled to Luton, but he didn't want to travel to Luton. And then we heard about a job in Diss, in Norfolk. And we'd always liked Norfolk. We'd always been for holidays in Norfolk, and we had friends there, and we always liked it. And we thought it was a good opportunity to move. The children were the right age. Mark was 7 and Sarah was 4. So we thought it was the right age to move them, and we thought it would be a better life for them, because Wellingborough then, it was a nice little market town, but it was made a London overspill town. And so we came to Diss, and husband went for an interview and got the job. They wanted him to start more or less straight away, which he did, and I stayed in Wellingborough. He came home at weekends to sell the house, and I think the house that we'd bought for about £4,000 we then sold for about £28,000 in 1980. We moved to Diss in January 1981 to a house which Diss people always referred to as Dr. Pierce's old house on Victoria Road. It was a nice house. It was a Victorian sort of townhouse. It had 39 stairs from top to bottom. It had mezzanine layers and that, and 2/3 of an acre of garden. It was completely different from what we'd been used to. The kids loved it, and all their friends used to come round and think it was marvellous, because there's lots of different places to hide and that in this house. But anyway, it did require a lot doing to it in a way, and it wasn't the sort of house you could do things to yourself. So we moved to Bressingham, to a Victorian house then, and we lived there for 23 years in Bressingham. When we first came, they both went to Dis Junior School, and then when we moved to Bressingham, they used to get the bus and move into Dis High School.
Wow, you've moved around a lot. What I would really like you to do over the course of this morning is to think about those words that you've picked up in all those different places. So if there's any Northampton vocabulary, when you went down to the to London to study, and you went out to the West End, did you get a cab? Did you encounter a cabbie who had a really good East London accent? Anyway, words you picked up, words you travel around that, now you're in Suffolk. Yeah, let's keep thinking. That's perfect. Thank you, Angela. Thank you for that. Diane, do you
want to go? Yes, I'm Diane Thorold. I haven't had a life like these other ladies. Daphne, well, she's more like Daphne, I suppose. I was born to mum and dad. They were old. When I was born, I had two sisters, which was 19 year older than me and 17 year older than me. I went to Badwell Ash School. I did that until I went to Ixworth School, secondary modern. Then I left school at 15. And I went to work in an office at John Rannick's at Hawley. And then at the age of we actually lived in a tied cottage because my dad was, he worked on the farm and we lived in a tied cottage. I met my husband at the age of 16, and we married in 1968, 4 years later. We bought an old public house at an auction. That cost $28,000. Then I didn't work when I first married, and then I done voluntary work after the children was... I had two daughters, or we did, and I went to Redgrave School doing voluntary, being jack of all trades, master of none. And then when that closed, and I can't remember when, 84 or something like that. 94 was that?
Yeah.
Because I've been finished work 21 year. Yes, and then they took me on ancillary, and then I got to a another one, and then that got to a TA. We then had to apply for our jobs down here at St. Olaf's, I left there. I'd done 21 year, and then I thought, my husband retired, and I thought, I'm not working and he's at home, so that's why I finished that. But I did have a happy childhood, but a very lonely because we was a mile and a half out of the village of Badwell Ash, so I had to play with myself. There was a pond over the way from us, and I got a rod, a piece of wood, put little tacks in, and got a cotton reel and put on the end, and had a pin into there. And this pond was, that had no fish in it, but I said, and I thought, maybe I'll catch a fish, but there weren't a fish in there, but that was a childlike thing.
Yeah. That's lovely.
I had a happy life. I got on better with my mum and my dad, and I did my mum because she was a very strong-willed lady. And they would be well in their hundreds now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they were alive. But, mm-hmm. So, yes, like I say, I've been not far. And I've lived in the house we live in 54 years, so you know I ain't had a, I haven't been far.
Doesn't matter. This is what's bringing the group back. Like, yeah. We're so eclectic. It's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that wonderful memory as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do Dean, and then we'll see where we go. How are you? Yeah.
I'm Jean Sheehan. I was born in London in 1940. In Lambeth Hospital. When I was 4, I was evacuated to Lancashire. All my family were real Londoners. My father had 8 brothers and sisters, so they were quite a big family. When I was evacuated at 4, I got sent to Lancashire, and when I started to speak with a Lancashire accent, and when I came home, when the war ended and I was 5, my mother couldn't understand what I was saying, and I was asking for milk, but in Lancashire we said malk. And we used to say words like singing. But it took my mother a little while to understand what I was talking about most of the time. I had hysterics when I got brought back to London because I didn't know my father, although I was 2 when he went off to the war. Anyway, that night I just had hysterics. And I wanted to go back to the country because I liked the country so much better. And I can remember London sounded different because when I'd left, every night you heard the planes going over and the bombs going off. And when I came back, it was so quiet that it didn't seem right to me. And I lived at the Elephant and Castle, which was an area which had got very bombed. And it's a miracle. Well, we were bombed out when I was about 9 months old, I think, because we went to live with my grandmother and I had to sleep in a drawer. So I must have been quite small to fit in the drawer. But then we moved back to the road that we had been bombed out from. But when I did start school in Lancashire, but because my birthday is at the end of April and the war ended at the beginning of May, I didn't go to school very long in Lancashire. When I came back, I went to St Mary's School, which was in Kennington. When I was 7, we went to another junior school. All the children just moved up to that school. When I was 11, I went to grammar school and I stayed there until I was 16. And then I went to work for a solicitor as a solicitor's clerk. And then I liked the work. And I started to train to be a litigation clerk. But then I got married when I was 19. And then I had my daughter when I was 20. And you didn't go to work if you were married with a baby. And anyway, 1966, my husband, well, 1965 really, he decided he'd like to have his own business. So we then moved to Suffolk. And we bought a shop in Suffolk, partly because we'd started off looking in Surrey, in Kent, and the sort of shop we were looking for cost about £7,500. But in Suffolk, they were only about £4,500. So we thought, well, what's wrong with Suffolk? We'd never been to Suffolk. So we came to have a look, and we thought, oh, Suffolk's lovely. And I've never wanted to move away. So we moved here in 1966. My children spent a lot of time at the farm that was opposite our shop, which I thought was lovely because that was what I'd always wanted to do. Anyway, we carried on the shop. I thought, well, it was a grocery shop when we bought it. Well, it sold everything, you know, it was a proper village shop. And then a year later, we took on the post office. And then a year after that, I started a little boutique. And we carried on with that until 1983. But because the shop wasn't doing very well, one of us had got to find another job. So I managed to get a job at weekends in Multi York, which was at that time it was a small furniture business, but it got bigger and bigger. And I started off just working weekends. In 6 months' time, I was working full time, and then in a couple of years, I was the manager at that shop, and I carried on working there for 20 years. And then I retired, and then after that, well, I couldn't afford the big house because the shop was quite big. So I moved to Ricking Hall, to this little bungalow, and I've been here ever since.
Perfect, lovely. So shall we spend like 10 minutes talking about bread, and then we'll have a break and move on?
Yeah, okay.
So there's lots of words around the country for these. And I'm curious to know what you might call these. Anyone? Go for it. Like, there's two different types. So for the tape, I've got a large white one and a small brown one. And this is not a trick question. It's just to start our memories going. I can pass it around. You can have a look, have a smell, a touch. What would you call one of those?
The brown one.
Yeah.
I like the... Yeah, I like brown bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. What do you call these?
Yeah, what word would you use for those?
Oh dear. Don't know.
I'd call it a roll. Mm-hmm.
Would you call it a roll?
I would call it a roll.
Would you call it a roll?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A brown roll.
A brown roll?
Yes.
You can't ever remember having rolls as a child at home.
No.
No.
And I only
rolls.
Remember them being crusty.
It was a bit
they
posh,
were never
I think,
yeah. Soft like that. They were always crusty.
Yeah.
From the bakers.
Yeah.
Because
you
could pull the crust off like you did the bread.
Yes.
Hungry, and take home a loaf with no crust on.
Yes, I did that.
That flat one I would have called a bap.
That's
a modern thing for hamburgers and to me.
Yeah.
Don't like them really.
No.
I'd rather have a crusty roll.
Yes.
Does anyone know the smaller one as a cob?
No,
I know that as a loaf of bread.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sort of a bigger version of that.
Yes.
But that would be hard. That would be crispy.
It would be crispy. Yes, it would have been.
The big one, the bap.
Yeah.
We didn't have baps, did we?
No.
Not when we were kids.
No, burgers hadn't been invented.
No, we didn't have burgers.
They were old.
It wasn't a burger.
No. Stebbins sausages.
Yeah, sausage, yeah. Which one's a ketchup if you were lucky?
Yeah.
Or brown sauce.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Where did you get your bread from as
bakers?
Bakers.
Baker Mountain.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have supermarkets.
Nope.
No.
When I lived in London, there was a bread shop at the top of the street that I lived in, and that was where we went to get bread.
Yeah.
Mm. And we had lots of different loaves, didn't we?
Yes.
Not like we have now. Lots of them.
My uncle was a baker in a village near where we lived, and when I was old enough, I used to help him in the school holidays and on Saturdays delivering this lovely bread, a cold.
Oh, didn't it smell lovely?
Yeah. Do you know, but he couldn't smell it.
Oh.
No, but it was a coal-fired oven in a very old bakehouse. Oh, it was lovely bread.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it was bread. Really was. And I used to help him on Saturdays. Yeah. Used to go round in the basket.
Yes.
Yeah, and he used to do...
I can remember my grandmother making bread on a Friday morning.
Mm.
She used to make the bread, and then while that was rising, she used to get on her bicycle and go to Diss and get the fish. And so we had always had fish on Friday. And we still have fish on the Friday.
Yeah. You do,
Yes.
What fish did you have? Do you remember?
Cod, I think it was. Mm. I don't know, I can't remember, but she always got on her bicycle and off she went. It didn't matter what the weather was, she went and got the fish.
Mm. Yeah. So there was a fish shop in Diss then, was there?
No.
No?
Yeah, there was.
Yes.
Was there?
Yeah,
I can't remember. Mm. Well, that was there for many
years.
Yeah,
that was the one that was there when I came.
Yeah.
Wasn't in Morrison's.
No, Morrison's wasn't there then.
Weren't there supermarkets then?
No.
Where was your mother travelling for her fish? Did she go, how far did she go?
Dis to Diss.
Was it five miles?
She just go to the fish shop and get the fish and come home. She didn't do any other shop. Grandad done that on a Saturday. And on a Friday afternoon, Grandad used to go to Diss. If he'd put anything in the market, he went to the auctioneers. I suppose to get the money, wasn't they? And then he would go to the bank and... Then he'd come home, have his tea, we'd done the milking, and my uncle, what lived there as well, he done all the feeding, and on a Friday, but Saturday, everybody had to pull a weight and do all sorts of jobs, and because Mum and Dad lived at the end of the farmhouse, we had an up and down. And Dad used to do the garden and cut the grass and do odd jobs. But on a Sunday, nobody did anything. Mm. We all had to go to chapel in a pony cart. Yeah.
How many are you in the cart?
Mum and Dad and me and my sister, because there were seven of us. My mum had seven children. And I was the oldest one, and my sister, the only sister I got left now, is living in Bottesdale. I had a very happy childhood, although I was a naughty girl and used to do horrible things. The favourite thing was, if Mum was busy and I was in a pram and I had a bottle, I used to drink it instead of the baby, and the baby used to cry all the time because I was hungry. Oh dear. Yeah, I was really a naughty girl.
Where did you used to go to the chapel? Which chapel did you used to go to?
The old chapel up in the village now. Opposite where Kate Neville lived.
In Redgrave.
We had to go to Sunday school in the morning, and very often we went in the afternoon to the service, and Grandma and Grandad used to come when they'd done all the work, feeding and everything. They used to come have a tea with us, and then we all went to the service, and very often I used to fall asleep. Yeah, and when it was any celebrations, when we had a harvester, the church, the chapel was decorated with all sorts of things and food and everything. And there was one chap there on the Monday evening when they sold the fruit and vegetables, whatever there was there. And he was so hungry, he got a Swiss roll out and he set net up when the service was going on. Oh dear. Yeah.
Did you have animals on your farm?
Hey?
Did you have animals on your farm?
On the farm we did, yeah. There was cows and, oh yeah, chickens. And my brother, my uncle Watt was there, he wasn't married then. He had prize rabbits. I don't know what they were called, but they were black and white and they had great big ears and they hung over the face.
Oh.
And I can remember him telling me that he'd got some little baby ones in the nest and when they come out the nest, I could go and see them. Well, I was so naughty that when nobody was about, I used to go and undo the locker and have a look and pull his little babes out. And they hadn't got the eyes open then. So you see, I was a naughty girl.
You were very naughty, Daphne.
Why was he keeping rabbits? Were they to did people eat the rabbits? Were they to sell and for people to eat, or
no? He said they were pets, and they used to show them. He used to take certain times a year. They used to have a function like a flower show, and he used to take them there. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Did you have the milk from the cows to drink?
Did I have?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we had the milk.
Yeah.
And chickens.
Yeah.
So you had
ducks,
all that.
Chickens, turkeys, everything.
What was the best milk from the cow when you had it? Was it really fresh, or how did it taste, the milk from the cows?
We always had the milk, and Grandma used to save the cream on the top and make it into butter. Once a week, she'd make it into butter.
Do you remember how she made it into butter?
Yeah, I made it like she used to save it until that was thick, nearly. Well, it looked like a blancmange by the time, and then she used to put it in a machine and yet turn a handle dozens and dozens of times until that clogged together, and then she used to run the water, have water by the side of her, and she used to wash us, yeah, and that made into butter. Wash all the salt out of it, but I don't know what it was, but anyway, that's what I used to help her to do. It was in a separator, that's what that was called.
We have some of those in the museum. Anyone else remember doing that as a young person?
Well, I remember my uncle, they used to have a pint leave the can out, and he'd put it on the gate at Hawley. He lived at Hawley, and they'd bring it back, and they used to skim all the cream off, and they used to, so that was like skim milk, I suppose they drank, but they used to sit beside the fire, and they used to put it in a jam jar, and sit there and keep rolling backwards and forwards, and then she'd have a go, and backwards and forwards, and they were marvellous people, them two, because they lived off their garden, and also they lived off the garden, and then she'd make piccalilli and all stuff like that, and they used to like mangel, which is beet, like mangel beet. They used to make wine and all different, all sorts, and they had a cupboard, and that was full of wine.
Like my dad,
the
top shelf in the pantry. Yeah. I made wine, got my husband drunk once.
Yeah. I'll tell you what,
try a drop of this.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, my grandmother used to make lots and lots of wine, and she took some to Dad in the field, in the harvest field, and she, I don't know what happened, but when he couldn't drink it because that was in been vinegar in the bottle beforehand. And he was very angry. He was so thirsty, but he couldn't drink it. But that was all tasted vinegar.
Yeah. I remember Dad taking me, used to go and pick, you know, dandelions for dandelions in the morning.
Yeah.
And used to go, have to go and help him on the grass verges and that, picking dandelions. And I know I was most embarrassed because I was picking this and two school teachers went past in the car. And there was me picking dandelions.
Dandelions wet the bed, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's the French name, isn't it?
Yeah. Something lion's teeth, is. It means.
Yeah.
There's also a local word.
Yes. That's right. Yeah,
it's from the French, isn't it, for dandelion? Yes, dandelion wine. And potato wine, which, when it really aged, it wasn't a light whiskey.
Oh, I was going to say, is it like vodka, but
it was
a bit more whiskey.
It was like whiskey, and the top shelf in the pantry was all these bottles, and you got them out and said to Tony one evening, have a drop of this, have a drop of that.
Don't take long to get drunk.
Did he grow his own potatoes and things, or did he get them
from
the shop?
No, he didn't have an allotment then. No. His sister had a big garden and a big allotment, but Dad didn't have an allotment until... or a vegetable garden until after he retired, I think. Yeah, and then he really got into it.
Jean, any memories from your childhood of milk?
I remember milk bottles.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And the birds pecking the milk.
Yes.
The cream out
and
of the...
And then in the fridge, when it froze.
That was lovely, yeah.
We were able to have milk then.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to bring it into school.
Oh, they did, didn't they? In the crate every morning. Yeah.
Third of the pint.
Yeah, bottles. It was nice in the winter. I didn't like it in the summer because it used to smell, didn't it? When it got hot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, well, it was.
You used to stand it on the radiator.
Really?
To warm it up in the winter.
No, that
wasn't a very prized job, was it, being milk monitor?
No, it wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
Because Mrs. Thatcher stopped that, didn't she?
Yes. Dear old Mrs. Thatcher. Did you ever remember a cottage loaf? Well, going back to the bread.
Yeah.
Because you never see that.
No, I can
remember making one at school.
When
I was quite young. Because you seemed to do things like that. And I was so proud of this cottage loaf that came
out. My uncle used to have cottage loaf. And he used to sell... plaits as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, plaits were lovely.
Three bits together.
That's right. They were lovely.
And my currant buns, which my daughter, when she was little, once we were visiting, and she was given one of Uncle Jack's currant buns, and she opened it and said, oh, not many currants in here. But he used to make cakes for people as well. He made our wedding cake for my uncle. Yeah. He's in the catering corps. He didn't go abroad because he was in the catering corps because he was a baker. Yeah, and he used to make cakes for people. Yeah.
And then one tier of your wedding cake you used to keep for the christening, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember? You put it in a tin and stored it for the first
tradition.
That's what we did.
Yeah, I remember doing that with one of the tier of mine.
Yeah.
We kept it for the first baby's christening cake.
Yeah.
Okay. Not many babies get christened then.
I'm not going to say, there's a waste of time without saying we're never christened. No.
Did you have any memories of milk as a child, Jean?
Well, living in London, all the milk was delivered by horse and cart. And the only thing really I remember about milk is that on the Saturday mornings my mother used to go shopping and leave me to look after my brother, who was 2 years younger than me. And he decided to give the milkman's horse an apple, and he held it like that, which he shouldn't have done. And so the horse bit his fingers. And I had to rush him round to the hospital, which fortunately was only about 5 minutes' walk away.
Oh.
And I think he had it stitched up. But apart from that, the only other thing was in Lancashire, while I was evacuated, they used to bring the milk round with a horse and cart, really. And people... used to put jugs out, or take jugs out and get the milk in jugs.
Yeah. Mm. Or bigger. Bigger, bigger. Cream jug. Yeah. 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 Oh, interesting. Yeah. I used to go around with Grandma in a pony cart on Saturday morning when she was delivering milk round Wortham. Right? On a Saturday morning, I used to be in a pony cart but make sure the boys didn't come round and take the apples what she used to sell. And one day, when she's gone into an old lady's house, she's been gone quite a long while, and I thought, well, I'm getting hungry. That's a long time since I had any breakfast. So there was a bag there with, I didn't know that was, she'd got it ready for somebody else, what she'd sell them some fruit and vegetables and all. And I opened up and started to eat it. Eat the soup. Fruit, and the boys came round and they finished a bag of fruit up, so when she came there weren't nothing there. Mm-hmm. I can remember sitting in the pony cart and I had a little white cap on and I had a dress on, but in the winter time that was very, very cold in this pony cart. Mm-hmm. No, there was lots of boys used to come round and they used to say, what have you got to sell, girl, die? And I said, oh yeah, I'm not selling anything. When my mother is just delivering the milk like you do on a Saturday morning and collect the week's money. Because she used to put it on, they used to put a jug out on the doorstep and she used to put the milk in there. Yeah.
You used to have milk checks?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I can't bear milk now.
No.
I don't like milk. I can't drink it on its own.
No, not enough.
Well, I don't have it in milk.
I think you'd buy your milk checks, wouldn't you, or your bread checks,
yeah,
when you went for your groceries at the co-op. This was the co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and little silver discs.
Yeah.
You used to leave them out.
Well, that's right.
For your milk, yes. Yes. Yeah. I remember the milkman coming. I used to give him a cup of tea and he used to drink it out of the saucer so it cooled quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a horse and cart. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. But working at the dairy in the winter of 63, when it was very cold and very long winter, and that was before there were milk tankers then, all the milk came in churns, mm, on lorries from the farm, and it used to come in because it'd been standing outside the farm to be picked up and it was frozen in the churns.
Mm.
And we used to have to put it round, leave the lids on obviously, and put it round in the churn washing machines to thaw it,
mm,
before it could be tipped in and, mm, go in and be pasteurised and bottled. Yeah.
What's a churn washing machine? Can you describe that to me?
A churn, well, I mean, it's obviously very old-fashioned. It was just a big round machine, and once the milk, when it came in, when it was liquid, obviously, was tipped into the big tank, went through into the dairy, it was put upside down, I suppose like a big dishwasher.
Oh.
And all that you, I think they used to put caustic soda or something in it. And it used to spray really hot water inside the churn.
Oh, to sterilise them.
Yes. Yeah. But when it was frozen, we used to put them in there with the lids on to thaw it, because it couldn't be poured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember, because you used to have to go out and sample milk. Every farmer's milk had to be sampled once, mm, a month for butter fat and keeping quality and all sorts of things. Took the lid off once. And there was a dead cat floating on the top. And he was the sort of farmer as well. If we'd have sent it back as it was, he would have taken the cat out and sent it back again. So we had to put a lot of gentian violet dye in it so it couldn't. He couldn't do that. Yeah, that wasn't very nice. No.
Mm. When we had the milk bottles delivered and left on the doorstep, in the winter, the lids used to pop off, didn't they?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
the milk had frozen.
Yeah.
And then the birds used to come, yeah, and pitch the cream, yeah, didn't they, off the top.
And yeah, they were different colours depending on the sort of milk, yeah, you wanted, wasn't, yeah, there? Mm. I think silver top was
little bit of cream.
Yeah.
And then there was a gold top.
Gold top,
yeah,
the Jersey one.
Yeah. And then there, wasn't there a red one? I think there were three,
weren't
there? I
don't remember that.
That was in, I'm thinking about London now.
I think we only had silver. I don't
we
think
we
could
silver.
Afford
we couldn't
the Jersey
afford the other ones, no.
But do you remember before that, before the foil caps came in,
the cardboard
yes
ones. Yeah,
because milk bottles then were a different
changed
shape.
Yeah,
they
were
wider,
the tops
neck
were wider.
Yeah, and you had a waxed cardboard
yeah
disc
yeah
that went inside.
And then we used to make balls out of the
yes
tops of the cardboard bottles.
Yeah,
we used to wind wool round and round
because they had a hole in the middle.
Well,
yeah,
you get two
yeah
together.
Yeah,
like pom poms.
And then when you'd finished winding the wool round it, you would cut all round the top of it and then put a bit of wool round
yeah
it to tie all the bits
yeah
together. And take them out and you've got a ball, a
yeah
woolen ball.
Yeah.
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 That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, we did lots of things like that. I remember matchboxes and making, because we had proper matchboxes then, didn't we? We used to make little toys and all sorts of things with the matchbox.
Yeah, for
prams,
furniture for the
furniture for your
dolls' house.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all made with matchboxes and bits of cardboard. And
I think that was before Blue Peter came along.
Oh, well, that's right, they got Blue Peter,
was,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was because of the ingenuity of
toilet
us.
Toilet roll, middles and Fablon.
Yeah. I made a duel with a toilet roll and we had Magic Roundabout.
My father made me a doll's house out of an old radio cabinet. So it was just like a square with a floor going across the middle and it sort of had four rooms and a door that, the door was like the whole of the front of the doll's house, really.
Yeah.
Well, we used to have a utility furniture, didn't we, then?
Yeah.
I can't see it now. Liberty bodies.
So I've had a Liberty bodies in the winter.
Oh, God,
I'm not familiar
Liberty
with
Liberty bodies. And the best.
The
yeah.
Thing, like, I had no arms, didn't
no
it?
No.
It just was
just
like,
went
like
on.
A waistcoat.
And it
had
funny buttons, didn't it?
Buttons.
Yes. I don't even know why we wore them. To keep
us
warm.
They'll have to bring them back these days, won't they, with no heating on.
Yeah.
And they were, well, not exactly quilted, but they
were
thick.
They were quite thick,
weren't they? And they were sort of had tape down, didn't they?
Yeah. Some of them had suspenders.
Suspenders.
Stockings on. And your navy school knickers.
Bloomers. You should roll up the knickers in elastic, didn't you? I don't know whether you did. We did. Because they were like bloomers. They came down to your knees. So you just pull them up and then roll the bits down.
School,
and then stick your hanky
green
up there.
You
so you didn't lose it.
Yes.
Oh, God, things we put up with.
Yes.
And then your last stockings, when you'd worn them for a little while, they sagged at the back and cut into the back of your leg.
Yes.
It was awful.
Did your mother ever knit you a swimming costume?
Yes. And you should come out the sea and go...
It used to sag.
But I think we had a happier childhood than what they have today.
I reckon we did.
We used to make our own amusements.
Yeah.
There weren't no telly to watch or anything.
No.
You were lucky if you had a radio.
Yeah.
I can remember when my father came back from, he was in Madagascar during the war, and when I came back from Lancashire, I can remember us walking down the road one day and he was saying, "We're going to go and buy a wireless and then you'll be able to dance, because I love dancing." And so we went to a shop. I can't remember exactly what they were, but you rented them.
Oh, radio rentals.
You rented the radio,
And did you have to take them back, have them charged or
no,
something?
No, that was before... This was a bit more modern than the ones that you used to charge.
Yeah.
Because you just paid a sort of rent to hire it every week and then And it just had the four channels, didn't it?
Yeah, the home service, the light service.
The third programme, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds very intellectual.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Luxembourg. Radio Luxembourg. No,
this was before Luxembourg had been invented.
Yes.
That's what they were called, relay radio.
Yes, that's it. Radio relay, yes. Yes.
We were
there. They had...
Yeah, we're just going with it. I was just, as you talk all together, the volume's a bit high, so I'm just putting the volume down.
Got excited.
The radios, nice. We used to have cumulators, didn't I?
Yes. That was before the relay
ones. Graham's, shop dentist used to come round at on a Tuesday morning and bring a cumulator. We used to have that on the radio.
I know, I was always intrigued by radios. Do you remember Housewife's Choice in the morning?
Yes.
Yeah. It always intrigued me. I couldn't have been very old. I used to imagine all these people were inside the radio making the noise. And televisions, when televisions came out, remember the old H aerial? Yes. I used to stand there looking up, expecting a picture to come on it.
The size of the screen.
Oh yes.
I can remember going on a Saturday with my dad, because we lived in a flats in London. And there were all these men in there in this tiny little room and this box there, and it had a magnifier
over the front.
So you could see, and we watched a football match.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought, wow. amazing.
And most people then, I think, used to rent a television as well, didn't you?
Or you were very wealthy to have one. Because it wasn't for everybody.
No.
It was amazing.
Mm.
Now we take it for granted.
We do.
When it was the coronation, everyone started to buy televisions because there weren't any before that period. And my aunts had clubbed together to buy my grandmother a television so that she could watch the coronation. And because we lived fairly close, my brother and I were going to go to my grandmother's house and watch the coronation. Anyway, my grandmother died a few days before the coronation. And in those days, the body used to lie in a coffin in the front room and all the curtains were drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt said, oh, you can't watch the television because Nanny will still be in the
state
in her coffin. And so we were really, really disappointed. But then at the last minute, they relented. Let's go watch the coronation.
I was taken to see the coronation in London.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when we were young, we used to make our own amusements.
Yes.
I can remember my mother used to do a lot of dressmaking. And cotton reels. Dad used to have a piece of candle at the end of the cotton reel, and we used to wind string or something around it and have it up and down.
Brilliant.
We was always. I think those days we were much happier than what they are today because the little things we appreciated.
Yeah.
I used to like sewing buttons on a piece of cloth, you know, lots of different buttons, because everyone had a button box.
Oh, yes.
And you could get lots of different buttons.
Yeah. We used to pick all the buttons out, which ones matched, and had them in the pile.
I've got a little bowl of sweets as well, and I wondered if any of these sweets might...
Sherbet, lemon,
humbugs, licorice, all sorts.
Aniseed balls?
No. It wasn't aniseed ball.
Have you?
No, I haven't had one of those.
No.
Tell us about aniseed.
You can still buy them.
Yeah.
They don't weigh them out, but they sell them so many for a pound. Mm. Yeah.
Because they used to be quite tight.
Yeah. They were tiny, weren't they?
You just get two for a penny, didn't you? Trevor Chews.
Liquid
all sorts.
Little
brown. I think licorice all sorts are in there.
Yes. And these sherbets,
But you used to have it in a big jar, didn't they?
Yeah.
And you used to have a little paper.
And put it in,
and then you had a stick of licorice that you put in and
That
was nice.
Yeah. I can remember when I was going to school and we had a sweet shop and I was given a farthing then. And I used to go to the sweet shop and for a farthing he'd make a cone out of a piece of paper and fill that with the sweeties of my choice for a farthing.
Yeah. Mm. And did you have to have coupons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
because
yeah,
it was
but
still
I
on that show,
wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Till about,
but
that was 1957,
was
that?
53.
Three was it, coupons, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but that was a real treat.
Mm. We were allowed a quarter of sweets, weren't we? I think it was a quarter for each person. Because I used to go down to the sweet shop, which there was a sweet shop in my road, and
there's lots of sweet shops in all our roads.
And get a quarter, two different quarters of sweets, which my mother put in a jar for my brother and me. And we could only have a sweet if we had all our dinner up.
Yes, yes.
So we had one sweet after each meal.
And then all rationed.
My mother, she had four ounces, so she used to have a bar of chocolate. And my father had a bar of chocolate as well, although I think my mother ate that. And I didn't eat meat. So my father probably ate all my meat because I hated meat.
Oh, yeah,
meat.
Your ration, yeah.
And Christmas time, we looked forward to that. We'd hang the stocking up.
Oh, yeah.
We had a tangerine, an apple,
and nuts.
Yeah. In the stocking.
Yeah.
Our dad's old socks.
And Daphne, you had a book, did you say? Anyway?
Yeah, I had a book. If we was lucky. That was a luxury, to have a book.
Yeah.
And it'd be apples and orange book. Perhaps a chocolate mouse. Oh, not a chocolate mouse, but ocean mouse.
Sugar mouse. Do you remember sweet sugar cigarettes as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
We used to pretend we were smoking.
Sweet cigarettes. Yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Did were the sugar mice made by family members or did they buy them?
No,
they did have tails.
They should
be
pink and white.
They had a cottony tail, didn't they?
Did you have a tradition near you on Valentine's Day where sweets were left out for the children in the village on this.
I can't remember nothing about Valentine's Day.
No, nor in London.
That wasn't celebrated then or anything.
No. Can't remember. Not even in London, I can't remember that
one. What about Easter?
We only used to have the little Cadbury's Easter eggs. And I think my brother and I just had one each. I think they were about sixpence then, weren't they? They were quite big.
We used much bigger than they are now.
Yeah,
yeah.
But still quite small, weren't they? Yeah. We never had a big Easter egg.
I can remember the first Mars bar. Mum brought it home. It must have been after rationing. Yeah. And it was my sister and I, we were having lunch or whatever we did then.
Yeah.
And she put it on the table and we were looking at it thinking, what's that? And she ceremoniously sliced it like a loaf of bread into three pieces for each of us to try. It was like heaven.
When we had our shop, Mars used to come round with a van and we bought all the bars of chocolate and that from them. And we had a rack that all the bars of chocolate would go into. And my husband used to stack it all up when the sweets were delivered. And then one week, he realised that there were gaps, between the sweets because they'd made the chocolate smaller. And that's how the prices didn't go up, but the chocolate bars got smaller.
Have
any of you heard the word cushies?
Kushti.
Kush. Well, it's very similar. I've started talking about sweets because a Norfolk word for sweets, an old word that was discovered by the, well, not discovered, but recorded by the Survey of English Dialects back in the 50s, was cushies, which is a bag, is another word for sweeties.
I heard that one in London. Kushti. That was a word in London,
yeah. I'm going back to when I was a little girl and I used to go around on a Saturday morning with Grandma and her pony cart delivering the milk. She used to give me a little silver threepenny piece.
Yes.
And I've still got them.
Yeah. I've got one.
I wanted to have a bracelet made because they stopped all that now. Mm. But I've still got them in a little tiny purse that my wedding ring was in when we bought them.
Did you ever make puddings with them?
I had a very happy childhood, although there were several of us. We made our own amusements and everything. Yeah, I think we were much, much happier than they are today. Because what we had to work for. Mm. But now that's just handed out on a plate, isn't it?
Well, we used to, birthdays and Christmas were special.
Yeah.
Because that's when, if we were lucky, we might get the doll that we wanted or the book that we wanted.
And the same with Easter. Yeah. We looked forward to having an Easter egg.
Exactly, because we didn't have it all the time, did we?
Oh, no.
No.
So they became really special times.
Yeah. And I can remember we always had boiled eggs.
Easter, yes.
When I was in Lancashire, my aunt, the lady I stayed with, she used to get an egg, and it was all the cotton mills were up in Lancashire then, and you got all the printed cotton fabrics, and she would put a piece of cotton and tie it round the egg, and then boil it all together, and the pattern from the cotton went onto the eggshell. And I've never known anyone else do that.
But that's not material.
Onion skins, much yellow ones,
isn't it? Done with fabric tied round.
Clever idea.
Yeah. Well, I would have only been...
Have you tried it yourself?
No, I've never tried it since.
It's like tie-dyeing an egg, isn't
it? Yeah.
I think I would have been four when... I don't know anyone in London that used to do it.
No, I don't remember anybody.
No.
I don't remember my grandma doing it or anything like that. Interesting, isn't it?
Right, we've been talking for an hour and 12 minutes. Can you believe it?
Yes. I've been looking at the watch thinking, right, half an hour's gone, we're carrying on.
Well, I didn't want to stop you.
No,
mid-flow.
I know, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
What time is it?
12 o'clock? Well, it's 5 to 12.
Well, that's...
So we've got cake now.
We have the cake.
Yeah, a cup of tea and a piece of cake.
Maggie made the cake, it's lovely.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah. So would you like tea or coffee, or what would you like to drink?
I'll have a cup of tea, please.